And good Friday afternoon, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk. I'm Scott Beatty, and we are live at the State Farm Center gearing up for Illinois basketball against DePaul later on tonight. It's a 7:30 tip-off, and we'll get into that as we go along. And later on in the program, was supposed to be talking with Shannon Ryan from the Chicago Tribune. She got caught up in traffic, and at the same time as I learned that, I learned that Teresa Grenz is here, former Illinois women's basketball coach, and she's here for part of an alumni weekend celebration, so she will join us here in a few minutes as well. Also continue our high school basketball preview with the next stop being Unity High School. Matt Reed, the coach of the Rockets down there, we'll hear from him before this is all done. And we'll step aside a little bit early tonight. It's volleyball coming up at 6 o'clock here on DWS as Dave Lone. We'll give you the call for Illinois volleyball against Wisconsin, so we'll step out a few minutes ahead of time for pre-match conversation and all that. And Illinois game day, getting ready for basketball, will start on our sister station, Light Rock 97.5, at 6 o'clock. And later on this evening, after volleyball here on DWS, we'll join up with network coverage of the basketball game. Let's get to some of the headlines, and first welcome in Matt Daniels, who's back in studio in downtown Champaign, editor of the sports section of the News Gazette and IlliniHQ.com. Good evening, Matt.
Hey, Scott. Feels like you're sitting right next to me. You sound great from State Farm Center.
Are you talking about my voice or just the Both. Quality of our connection?
Both, Scott.
Oh, well,
I miss seeing you, though. I will say that.
Well, radio is supposed to be, you know, an intimate connection, so... we start with actually some sad news here to lead off sports, as we've learned just within the last few hours that James Caroline, J.C. Caroline, former standout football player for the University of Illinois, a consensus All-American in 1953, has died at the age of 84. He died at Carle Hospital this afternoon. And UI spokesman Kent Brown said J.C. was certainly one of the all-time great football players in Illinois history. He was one of his most remarkable performances was in Columbus when he rushed for 192 yards in one game in the Illini's 41-20 win against Ohio State in 1953. Brown said he was no doubt on the Mount Rushmore of Illinois running backs, up there with Red Grange and Jim Grabowski. He touched a lot of lives in Urbana as well as a high school coach and teacher, and put a stamp on our community in a lot of different ways. So... Sad news, and our condolences out to the J.C. Caroline's family.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking news to hear on a Friday afternoon, right before you're getting ready for a jam-packed weekend of Illinois sports, and hopefully they'll maybe recognize him tonight at the basketball game at State Farm Center, maybe with a moment of silence. Don't know what's going on there, but it's news that you don't like hearing ever, especially getting ready to start your weekend, I echo what Kent Brown said. He was one of the greatest athletes in Illinois history, and put up some huge numbers at a time when Illinois football was really going. And like you said too, Scott, he was a fixture in the community with what he was able to do at Urbana High School. Also coached with the Illini football team as an assistant as well once his playing days were done. And it's just a huge loss for the not only the Illinois athletic program, but you know, college sports in general.
Indeed, and also hope to get Lauren Tate's reaction to all this, too. I'm sure he remembers those days, so we'll talk with Lauren later on in our line of game day coverage. A couple of scores today from college basketball. Illinois State fell to Boise State 82-64 at the Puerto Rico tip-off. Just yesterday they beat South Carolina, but today they lose. Keyshawn Evans, though, did score 21 for the Redbirds. And Vermont beats Bradley today 65-64 out in the Bahamas. Mind you, told you Illinois volleyball coming up tonight as the Illini host the number 12 Wisconsin Badgers. That is a 6 p.m. first serve at Huff Hall. Matt, the other sports story of the day that kind of following here in the community has been the news or the controversy, if it even is, around Bailey Dee, a former Central basketball player who tweeted out that he is now going to be playing at St. Louis Christian Academy down in Missouri to continue his preps career. He was an all-area second team selection last year, and he was cut from the team for this year by head coach Jeff Finke. He didn't make the squad. That sparked some pushback from a bunch of community members on Monday night at a school board meeting. And as far as we know, as far as I've known, Matt, maybe you've learned anything, there's no reason been given why he didn't make the team, no statement from the district or from Jeff Finke, and not that a head coach normally would make a statement about why a player did or didn't. The unique aspect of this is that he was a two-year starter and that there was a lot of community outcry when he didn't make the team.
Yeah, it was very surprising to learn that Bailey D did not make the Champaign Central boys basketball team just based on his play the past two seasons, especially what he accomplished last year as the second leading scorer for the Maroons, averaged about 14.5 points a game. I covered their regional title win last year against Muhammad Seymour at Combs Gym, and he was by far the best player on Central's team in that game, really turned it on in the second half and was a key reason why Central ended up winning a regional. And, we're not privy to all the goings-on of a program at all and don't know exactly all the details at this point, but good to see him land on his feet and be able to play his senior season of high school basketball. At a private school in St. Louis, but he can play right away, it seems. And wish nothing but the best for him and him moving forward. I know he wants to play in college, and he's gotten several interests from college in the past couple of years based on his not only his play with Central, but also what he's done on the AAU circuit as well. So yeah, it's just it kind of overshadows the start of the high school boys basketball season, a time that's really special for a lot of kids and coaches and fans in the area. But good to see him land on his feet and be able to play this upcoming season.
And he indicated that today is game day on his Twitter. And interestingly enough, St. Louis Christian plays La Lumiere tonight.
Yeah, that's a program a lot of people around here know pretty well based on their connections to the Illini and former players that Illinois has recruited in the past. So he's going to play against some really top-notch competition, it looks like, his senior season, which ultimately should position himself well to possibly play at the collegiate level. And he's a really good player too. St. Louis Christian Academy is getting a good point guard who can shoot the ball really well and take it to the rim at times and play solid defense as well. But Champaign Central is still going to be good this year too. They've got Tim Finke, recent signee with Grand Canyon, a handful of other key players back from last year's regional title team too. So you just hope in the end, in a situation like this, it just kind of works out well for both parties, no matter what the reasons were for Bailey D not making Champaign Central. Like I said, you just hope it works out well for both in the end, and it's good to see that Bailey's going to be playing basketball this winter.
And speaking of La Lumiere, no less than five by my count, a quick glance here at the DePaul Blue Demons roster. Players for DePaul have played for La Lumiere, and there may be more coming that way.
Yeah, the big reason why is Shane Hierman, the former coach at La Lumiere, is now in his first season on DePaul's staff as an assistant coach. And you got Jalen Coleman-Lands, who was at Illinois for two seasons, played at La Lumiere under Shane Hierman, and he's has to sit out the season with transfer rules, but he's got a connection to that prep boarding school in Northwest Indiana, and you'd expect him to utilize that recruiting connection moving forward.
By the way, the background noise you're hearing here at State Farm Center is the Illinois women's basketball team wrapping up their practice. They play tomorrow at 2 o'clock, game you'll hear on FightingIllini.com. Yours truly be filling in for Dave Lone. But it's alumni weekend as well, and Coach Teresa Grenz, who's here in the building and will be talking with us in a little bit, she's about to address the team too. So kind of a special moment. They're going to honor the 20th anniversary of the 1997 Big Ten Championship team that went to the Sweet 16 and bowed out to number one UConn. Then they went to the Sweet 16 the next year as well. So kind of neat moment here as Nancy Faye receiving the torch of leadership here, mm-hmm. and one legend talking to another in two different ways.
Yeah, exactly. Teresa Grenz obviously left her imprint on the Illinois women's basketball program with what the Illini were able to accomplish during her tenure, and the program's still looking to kind of get back to those glory days when Grenz was on the sidelines at Illinois, and Nancy Faye, his team's off to a 2-1 start. They've won both their home games at State Farm Center. I know they probably had a performance that wasn't up to Coach Faye's standards on Wednesday night with their 66-56 win against Chicago State, but now they get a chance to play Bradley on Saturday afternoon, and you know, the run of in-state opponents continues again. They host Western Illinois next week before they go down to Albuquerque around Thanksgiving for three games down there next weekend. But you know, it's a new team, a lot of young faces too, and adapting to a new style of play. So any wins they can get in the non-conference part of the season will be huge once the Big Ten you know, gamut starts to run its course later next month.
Before I let you go, Matt, I just got to ask you, you know, who do you like the odds here, Roger Goodell versus Jerry Jones?
I mean, both are very powerful men in the National Football League. That's without a question. I don't know. Roger Goodell's had his share of critics ever since he took office as commissioner of the NFL, and Jerry Jones has been around for quite some time. Recent Hall of Fame inductee as well, so... you know, it depends how many owners Jerry Jones could possibly get to his side and trying to, you know, have a mutiny against Roger Goodell. And, you know, if Goodell were to ever leave, or whenever he does leave office as a commissioner, I'm sure there'll be a lot of people who'd be happy to see that happen. And we'll see if Jerry Jones is one of them. But yeah, it's an interesting power struggle right now in the NFL, where so much of the talk around the league is about issues that aren't on the field at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet against the man who's probably, what, the richest owner there is.
Yeah.
I don't know, between him and Kraft, Robert Kraft out there in New England.
Yeah, I remember when I was down in Dallas for the 2014 Heart of Dallas Bowl, and I had some time the day after the game before my flight came back to Champaign, and I drove over to Arlington just because I wanted to see AT&T Stadium, and
it's Jerry Dome.
That's very true. It's a massive football stadium. What surprised me the most about that is there's a Walmart right across the street from it. It just kind of seemed out of place.
That seems exactly the right place.
With that massive stadium and then a Walmart's right across the street. But it was an impressive sight, to say the least.
Yeah, I've been over there too. I haven't been in the building, but you don't understand the size and scope of that structure until you're near it.
Yeah, it's huge.
It looks big. And I've been to a few stadiums too. You know, there's mm-hmm. other big structures. You cannot describe the mammoth size of this whole thing.
That's very true. Very true, Scott.
All right, a big weekend for Illinois athletics with all kinds of teams in all different places. What do you got coming up, Matt?
Yeah, and then Saturday's News Gazette will have obviously comprehensive coverage of the Illini's game tonight against DePaul. Also got plenty of Illinois football preview coverage. You should be sure to check that out as well. And high school football playoffs are in full swing for Tuscola and Gibson City, Melvin Sibley. They've got state semifinal games tomorrow afternoon. We'll have coverage of all of that and a whole heck of a lot more in Saturday and Sunday's News Gazette.
Matt, appreciate it very much.
No problem, Scott. Take care. I'll see you soon.
Matt Daniels, editor of IlliniHQ.com, the News Gazette sports section. When we come back, we will be joined by Teresa Grenz shortly. Also, we'll get a conversation with Matt Reed, head coach of Unity High School basketball. Sports talk leading you up to Illinois volleyball and Illinois men's basketball.
It's the Illini at Ohio State Saturday at 2:30. Illini game day comes your way at 1 o'clock with Michael Kaiser Saturday on DWS.
Sports talk here on this Friday. Scott Beatty with you from State Farm Center, getting ready for Illinois and DePaul later on tonight, 7:30 tip-off. Lauren Tate has stopped by. Just wanted to catch your thoughts, Lauren, as we learned just a little while ago about the death of J.C. Caroline.
Well, in 1953, the fall of 1953, he hit the scene like a hurricane. He was the best player in the country. Should have won the Heisman that year, but you never, in those days, a sophomore couldn't win. You needed a year for people to know who you were, recognize. He led the nation by far in rushing. As you mentioned, he had over 190 yards in one game against Ohio State, which was just rocked the nation. They won the Big Ten championship with Michigan State. And it was just a fabulous year, and he was the best player that year. Now, he had some problems later on. He left and went to the Canadian League after his junior year. And he later came back and played for the Bears and was a tremendous defensive back for the Bears. But one year, they had an injury at running back, and he went over to the offensive side. He had one year where he ran the ball a lot, and he ran hard. He didn't back off from anybody. He was a north-south runner.
Did you get to know him?
Oh, yeah. I knew J.C. really well. Yeah, I knew him all. I knew him.
What type of guy was he?
Oh, just a sweet guy. Just a perfect guy. Just a wonderful individual. I don't think he had an enemy in the world, unless it was Ohio State.
Maybe somebody in his honor this weekend should rush for 192.
Well, that would be great. That would be something else.
Probably not likely, but.
Yeah, they were really good when Illinois beat them that year.
They were indeed. Well, it's sad news. You know, 84 is a good long life, and you got him beat a little bit, but it's sad to hear. But
Long teaching career over Urbana too, and he was a valued member of both Pete Elliott and then later on with Jim Valick. He was assistant coach with both those head coaches at Illinois.
But there's something special too when a guy or a woman has a great career at Illinois, but then stays in the community. It just becomes a neat thing.
Well, he came back here to coach, and he never left after he was a coach for Pete and then Jim. And as I say, he was a great – I should mention that it was a duo that year, Caroline and Bates. They were both good, and they both just hit the scenes they made such a big splash. It was just it came out of nowhere. Nobody knew who they were.
Yeah. All right, Lauren, I appreciate you stopping by, and we'll talk to you on our sister station for Illinois Game Day coming up at the top of the hour.
Okay.
Appreciate it. And again, the J.C. Caroline having passed away at the age of 84 at Carl Hospital in Urbana. Brian Barnhart, I'm calling on audible here at the line, Brian.
Okay.
Right. Teresa, yep. We should have known better than to think Teresa Grenz couldn't get away from from a team.
Oh, yeah,
she's
going
to stop by here.
Yeah.
But
she spoke to the women's team.
Yeah, she did.
That was cool.
Neat moment. It kind of reminded me of the Hall of Fame weekend when Jerry Colangelo and Manny Jackson spoke to the men's team during their practice.
Yep.
And, there's a neat sense of history that gets passed on like a baton to each new team and each new coach.
Well, when you think about it, how many games Nancy Faye and Teresa Grenz have won between the two of them. They got a nice picture together.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, indeed. She's making her way over here.
You want her to come in?
Yeah, we do. Okay, thanks, Brian. You did a great job. Teresa Grenz is the former coach of Illinois women's basketball and led them to a Sweet 16 appearance in both 1997 and 1998 and is being treated like the return that she deserves here. Everybody's shaking your hand, Coach, so I'll let you get that headset on.
Okay.
How you doing?
I'm well, Scott.
You are being warmly welcomed as you deserve.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're back for Alumni Weekend. It's the 20th anniversary as well of the Big Ten Championship in 1997. How's it been for you so far being back?
You know what? Illinois has just been fabulous to Carl and I, and we've thoroughly enjoyed it. They've treated us royally. It's so much fun, and I'm looking forward to meeting the kids again. I keep calling them kids. They're really not kids, but they are to me. They'll always be kids. And, of course, meeting the new Illini and Coach Nancy and what she's doing and her staff. It's just it's really neat. It's a great memory.
You had a moment there with the team on the court, and if that was a private moment, that's fine, but can you let us know anything you shared and wanted them to know?
Well, I want them to know that this is their time. We had our time. We had our moment. You want to play now so that you will have your moment 20 years from now when you come back and that you're welcome back because of the things that you did now. And I think the thing that has to happen in today's sports, which doesn't always happen, is you have to be able to be accountable, and you got to keep each other accountable, and you got to make sacrifices. And if you can do that, you can win a championship.
I don't know if you've ever been in a situation quite like Nancy Faye is in, because she's so established, but it's such a new environment and a new level of basketball. And I don't necessarily mean that on the court per se, but just the whole thing with being in a Big Ten Division I versus a Division III. Was there anything in your career that was akin to what she's going through in this kind of transition?
You know what? I wouldn't worry too much about that Division I, Division III stuff. I really wouldn't. There's still 24 hours of the day, and you've got to be able to manage what you've got. You know, you want to categorize people like that, I think that's a mistake. I think that young woman knows what she wants, knows how she wants to do it. She's got the great ethics and the work ethic and the passion, and you could see when she was out here. This is what she wants. Now, I think it's going to be a time till her players understand, and she's able to have a few more recruiting classes. But this is what she wants, and she'll do a great job.
Everybody is remembering the time that you were here, and Huff Hall was packed, and there was
it was fun.
It was big crowds here. Is that come down because to winning? Were you doing something else that you thought was really key in bringing in the fans?
You know, when I first came, when we were at Huff, we came out. We might have had maybe I don't know, 200 people in the fan in the stands. And they might have been the parents and the grandparents and maybe the people that wanted to get out of the wind and the cold or whatever. I don't know. I thought, this is ridiculous. This is just plain stupid. I mean, you work all week, kill yourself, and then, you know, practicing, the kids are practicing, and you come out of that tunnel and there's only, you know, a handful of people. This is crazy. So I thought, what are we going to do here? And, you know, we did some things. And January got here, and Carl and I were having dinner. It was New Year's Eve. And he was giving me some grief about, you know, there's not a fans, whatever. And I thought, I really don't need this. I just want to have dinner. And then I did a radio show the next day or so, and they were talking about joining a polar bear club. And I had remembered one of the things I had been told
were you,
was...
Were you jumping in the ice cold water?
And what happened was this radio station said, you know, you need to join the polar bear club. And I said, you're out of your mind. I'm not doing that. And then there's three reasons that people will do something. The first reason is the least reason is money. That's the least reason you'll do something. The next reason that you'll do something is if there's good leadership. But the real reason you'll do something if there's a cause. And I thought, okay, fellas, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. You guys, it was Tuesday, you guys get, we're playing Michigan State on Friday and Ohio State on Sunday. And I said, you get the fans to come into Huff. We need 4,500 fans. You sell it out for Michigan State and Ohio State, and I'll jump in the Polar Bear Club. And they said, oh, no, we're just going to do one. I said, no, you're going to do two. You're going to do the weekend. Because we hadn't beaten Michigan State and Ohio State. And then people thought this was a big vacation. Come here, stay at the Hawthorne Inns, whatever, and have breakfast, and then go beat the Illini. I said, forget this. So, sure enough, these guys got on there, and then all their other disc jockeys on all the other radio shows did the same thing. So they all were pumping up Friday's game against Michigan State and Sunday's game against Ohio State. Everybody's got to go out. Coach Grunts will jump in, blah, blah, a little bit. Did a great job. But in the meantime, I received two telephone calls. One was this guy calls me up, and he said, are you the crazy blonde that's going to jump in the lake? I said, yeah, that would be me. And he said, well, I own the aquatic shop over here, and you might need a wetsuit or something. I said, I don't think I'm allowed to do that. And then the other call was from Dr. Kerouac, who was the team physician, who said, are you going to do this? I said, yes, I'm going to do it. If we do that, he said, well, you better get over here because we got to give you a couple shots because we don't know what's in that lake. So anyway, comes Friday night, and there's 4,300 people. And we beat Michigan State. Come Sunday, there's 4,100, and we beat Ohio State. Now, two things happened there. One, the kids figured if she's going to jump in this lake and we lose, and we got to go back to practice with her the next week, we don't want that. So they really got their A game together. And the second thing was, I said I was going to do it. So now Tuesday, the next week comes, and it's time for me to go do this. Go down to Lake of the Woods, sure enough. Radio station's there, everybody's there, the newspapers. And sure enough, here comes the fire trucks, because when I said I was going to do it, it was like 41 degrees, and the day that I had to do it, it was 14 degrees. So the stinking thing was frozen, so they had to get the fire trucks to break it up. And I'm thinking, I had to be out of my mind at this point. But the good Lord saved me at this point. There was divine intervention, because out of that comes a squad of... a car full of fraternity brothers who are in their Speedos and their ducky lifesavers who are going to come in and jump in with me. They proceed, we're going to help you, coach, because I had done a lot of work with the fraternities and sororities, and they knew. So they jump in. It is so stinking cold that when they come out, their hair is frozen. Frozen. And now I'm thinking, okay, we didn't really sell out, but we did win. I had to be a good sport, so I took my clothes, my coat and everything off, rolled up my pant legs, and went in up to, you know, almost my knees type of thing. I'm in the front page of the paper. And after, people thought, she's crazy. But we won. So from there on, we never looked back. So sometimes you ask me, what do you have to do? You have to do whatever the spur of the moment says.
Two lessons I learned from there. One, the power of radio.
Yep, there it is. It was there.
And two, Nancy Faye needs to go jump in a lake, apparently.
No, that might not work for her. You know, but seriously, if somebody said to you, you know, we want you to join the Polar Bear Club as a promotion, you're not going to do that. It was the moment.
Yeah.
And you were able to capture that. The kids worked in. Everyone worked in on it. And it worked out great. But it was a great time, and I think that those kids played in such a way that the community felt they were part of it. They loved them. They loved the community. The kids did an awful lot within the community, and they played hard. People loved them, and they came out, and, you know, we filled this place. We, you know, played Purdue for the championship, and we'd already won it, and it was packed in, 16,000 people.
Yeah,
it
was, and I remember being in the basketball band playing with you guys, so it was a gas. And well, Coach, I know you got a busy schedule, I'm sure, here with lots of meet and greets and all that fun stuff. Appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us. Welcome back to campus. Happy memories from this, and just real brief, where's life have you now?
We are in Westchester, and Carl and I are together, having a time of our life. We play a lot of golf. In fact, I play more golf than he does. If the day ends in Y, that's what I do. And, you know, we have two beautiful grandchildren that Pup Up Bear's magic wallet has yet to cease. I mean, I took them to Ralph Lauren Christmas shop, you know, children's shop. The man just had to buy these beautiful dresses for his beautiful princess granddaughter and God knows what else, and he was his grand. It's great. It's just a great time.
Nothing like grandkids.
There's nothing like them.
They'll grab
a hold. We're good for
you.
The economy.
Very good. Hey, Coach Grants, thanks so much.
Scott, thank you.
Good
have a wonderful
you.
Evening, and I wish you the very, very best and a happy holiday.
Likewise.
Thank you.
Coach Teresa Grants with us here on Sports Talk. Well, from some good memories from Illinois women's basketball, we turn to high school basketball. We've been previewing some of the area teams coming up on the new season, and I had a chance to catch up with Matt Reed, head coach of Unity High School Basketball Rockets. Here's that conversation.
Matt, thanks for your time. How are you looking at 2017-18?
Well, we're excited to get started. You know, I'm sure my guys are a lot more excited than I am, just from the standpoint that we've got basically 4 weeks to practice until our first game, and I like practicing. They probably don't like it as much as I do, so they're excited to get started. But we should, you know, we have quite a few goals, and we hope to achieve them this year, and we expect to have a good basketball team.
How many of your players also play football, and how much does that impact your preparation in the early season?
Well, I mean, when I got here, you know, Coach Hamilton and I just had a discussion about that, and we elected to get us out of a Thanksgiving tournament. From my standpoint, it's great, you know, in a school like ours, our best athletes have to play all the sports. So it's great if our guys make a long, you know, run in football. But if you're in a Thanksgiving tournament, that's not a good thing. But since we're not in one, it doesn't impact us as much. Now, that being said, I mean, it's a totally and entirely different shape for basketball. And that's, you know, our guys are using that now. We've got Cale Schonkweiler and John Decker. We've got a lot of guys that play football. I'm just trying to think of two guys, and Ethan Meback, right off the top of my head. Evan Meback plays. I mean, the majority of our guys do play. I would think it would be more that do, excuse me, than don't play football. And you know they play in high level games, and high level games doesn't matter if you're playing baseball, basketball, whatever, helps you.
How about Steven Miggott? I know he's been on your roster in the past. Will he play this year, given he wants to play football in college?
Well, Steven is going to have a surgery. You know, he separated his shoulder. Was be about a month ago now. Was it week 7? I can't remember off the top of my head. So he's going to have a surgery. So he's just not going to be able to play. So, you know, it hurts us from a standpoint of, I mean, Steven's a heck of an athlete. He's a great kid. I enjoyed coaching him last year. But, you know, if my son was going to go to West Point too, I'd take a look at getting any sort of preventative surgery I could as well.
Fair enough. You guys, this year, you're bumping up a class to 3A, and you just missed the cutoff to stay in 2A, which means you're one of the smallest schools in 3A. Do you like that extra challenge, or would you rather be down in 2A?
We have to get the program to the point where the next game on the schedule you just expect to win. You know, if you're at Tutopolis doesn't care if they're playing somebody that's 3A or 4A, they just, or 2A, they're just going to expect to beat whoever it is. And we're not there yet, but we want to be. You know, obviously, I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, you know, if the numbers are what they are, I mean, last year we finished up, 2 points away from in a regional game of Monticello, who got fourth in the state. Now, that doesn't mean that we would have even won the next game. We could have got beat the next game. Obviously, your chances of going further in the state tournament series are better if you're in 2A. But at the same point, you know, we're going to go out there and compete with these teams. My guys have, you know, they've played in some good 4A football games. You know, we played Centennial this summer. We played in a tournament at Lincoln where we played all 3A teams. All summer we played 3A teams with 2A teams. So we just got to get the program to where we expect to win the next game, regardless of the classification.
And who will be at the top of the scouting report, do you imagine, from your squad?
Yeah, well, I mean, we have quite a few guys back. We've got JT Wheeler back for I wasn't here. I think he's either started. This is either his fourth year to start or his third year. I'm sure. I know he played on the varsity as a freshman. So, you know, JT, he does a lot of things for us. He can shoot the ball. He can handle the ball. He can rebound. We also have John Decker back. John had an excellent junior season, and I expect big things from him as well. Last year, he was honorable mention all conference. JT was unanimous all conference. So we have two returning players that had some accolades, but we also have a lot of guys that played a lot of minutes. Ethan Meback played a lot of minutes for us last year. Cale Schonkweiler played a lot of minutes for us. Luke Warnes, as a sophomore, I started him at point guard probably at about Christmas time last year. So this will be really his second year to start at point guard. So we do have some returning minutes coming back, and we're excited to watch them mesh together.
Hey, Matt, we appreciate a bit of your time. Best of luck as you get ready for the new season.
Yeah, thanks for your coverage. Thanks a lot.
Matt Reed, head coach of the Unity High School basketball team, and our thanks to him for his time. We'll step aside here in just a moment. We've got Illinois volleyball coming your way at 5:50. If you're looking for Illinois game day coverage of the men's basketball game coming up against DePaul, that will start at the top of the hour on our sister station, Light Rock 97.5. So you get your choice tonight between basketball and volleyball. And if you are sticking with volleyball, never fear, after that match, we will join up with basketball in progress. And, of course, our post-game show comes your way after the basketball game on both stations as well, News Talk 1400 and Light Rock 97.5. Thanks to our special guests tonight, Matt Daniels, Teresa Grenz, and Matt Reed. Thanks to Blake Landa behind the scenes in studio. I'll talk to you if you're joining me on Illini Game Day coming up at 6 o'clock. Volleyball is next.